Welcome to Mysterious Goings On, the podcast about creativity, writing, and mystery. Every week, we talk about all kinds of great fiction and meet the people who write it. We also feature explorations about creativity in all walks of life. Your host, Alex Greenwood, will join you right after this.
Fostering truth and beauty in all its various modes, through riveting determination on stage and screen, through harmony of perspectives and podcasts, through deft eloquence of words on the poetic page, my dear friend Sonia Iris Lozada inspires, dreams, fascinates, cracks a smile, and spurs the moment with verse and wit. If you have heard that name before, it might be because you've listened to her on this here show, and you may have heard a show I used to do with her called Chica and the Man, or you may have listened to her fantastic podcast. She has a couple, Overheard at Chica's Cafe and Poetic Resurrection, but she is also a wonderful actress of stage and screen and TV. I mean, screens, we should say that, right? Movie screens, TV screens. She's probably done some streaming I don't know about, or online. I have no idea, but I'll tell you this. I did see her in season 2 of Bosch Legacy, making an appearance as the mother of a key series regular, and she was wonderful. Luminous. I had to run it back 3 times. I was very excited. She's a dynamic, energetic, and hear me out, deeply spiritual and wonderful person. We have known each other a number of years, and it all started right here on this show. We're going to talk a little bit about her poetry collections. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with her and her career. We're just going to catch up with my dear friend, Sonia Iris Lozada. Hi.
Thank you so much for having me. That's quite the intro.
Well, you're quite the person. You're quite the person. Well, that's why.
You know, we adore each other, so it's really easy to talk to.
I've missed you. It's been a while, huh?
Yeah. I got to have you on Overheard at Chica's Cafe.
I would be honored. That's a great show.
That is a great show. That one. And I just did it just to do it for fun.
That's what's the thing. It's like my other show, I did it because it was a business thing. And now it's like picked up to the point where I can't get rid of it because it's too it's doing too well all of a sudden. I mean, I even had a sponsor. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Magic Mind. I had them January and December. They're going to evaluate and see if they want to offer me another sponsorship. It wasn't a lot of money, but it was still nice to get thrown a little bit of money.
Hey, pays for the services.
It does. So let's catch up a little bit. You and I have already caught up personally, but let's catch up with where you are. When I initially met you, it was to talk about your works of poetry. And you're one of the few poets I really feature on the show. Not because I don't like poetry. It's just that I don't think a lot of people can access it in their own way. You know, a lot of people are just like intimidated by poetry. And we talked about that a lot on the first episode, but your stuff is really, I don't know. I don't think it's strictly poetry. I think it goes beyond that. It's got a lot of elements in it. There's some fiction type elements in your poetry. And there's just different voices that you are creating. So I'd love to know, just if you don't mind, kind of line out your books. You know, give us the short blurb on each book and then talk about where you are now.
Well, my first book I ever wrote, and I was terrified to release it because it's called Inspire Me Raw, and it was all raw emotions. It was stuff that I was holding on to for a long time. And I even thought of getting a pen name because there still was a little bit of shame because there were traumatic things that I went through. And I said, you know what? Screw it. I am never going to get over myself if I don't just do it. So I put my name on it, and that was my best reviewed book. It was people writing to me saying, oh my God, you're going through, I thought I was alone in this. I didn't know that other people felt the same. And so that one was raw emotion. It went really well. My second one was in the same series called Inspire Me Perceptions. And Inspire Me Perceptions is all about perceptions. It was a little more complicated than my normal writing, but there were certain poems, like a poem that I wrote called Tomorrow, which is all over the internet. It was like, I saw, you know, I'm an actor, so we search ourselves to see how, hey, I found myself on porn sites that people were saying I was there. And I'm like, no. And I had to fight and say, get my name off of there.
Oh my.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like they were selling porn videos and they put like my name, they put a bunch of actresses' name on there.
They do that,
And
don't they?
Yeah. And so what I did was I wrote to, it was on YouTube, you know, and I said, I am a legitimate actress. I am not in this thing. And they took it down like immediately.
Oh, good, 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 good.
But Inspire Me Perception, the poem Tomorrow, is because I did a search on it and people were taking lines from the poem and putting it as quotes. And I found it in various websites. And it is copywritten. Like I was telling you, my attorney's like, there's a, it's copywritten. I go, you know what? Free advertising.
Yeah.
Because they did give me the credit. So that's what I needed. The third book in that series, which I'm currently writing, is called Inspire Me Awakening Dreams. And it's about changing the way we think. There's quotes in there. There's mainly poetry.
Yeah.
And I'm currently working on that one. I did another book, which we talked about on one of the episodes, and that was Follow Akashic Dreaming Through Time. I got to remember my own books.
Oh my
And that
goodness.
one was all on dreams, based on
Yes.
dreams and fantasy and all that kind of stuff. And then another book I'm currently working on, which is a separate book, it's science fiction because I kind of think that way. A lot of my poetry might have stuff that's kind of little sci-fi-ish.
Right.
And so I'm doing a bunch of short stories for that collection.
How do you like writing short stories as opposed to poetry?
You have more time to put out your story. And I took a class that was put out by Poets and Writers, the magazine. And I was with a publisher and I said, well, I'm a poet, but you know, I'm writing sci-fi. She goes, we love poets that write stories because they're so descriptive.
Right.
It gives us more time to explain the story, to really tell the story. In
Right.
poetry, you have to condense it.
Right.
So, I mean, the longest, I have a poem called Silhouette, which is about a traumatic experience, but that's almost like a flash story. It's like a long poem.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, but I'm working on the short stories. I like, the difference is I don't have to condense it and be clear about what the meaning is. Versus I have more time to elaborate on the story
Right.
for the short story.
Does it, but do they take longer for you to write than poetry by virtue of them being longer? Or do you see what I'm saying? To me, I think I said this to you before. I am not a poet and I know it. But it would intimidate me to even think of trying to really write serious poetry like you do. So I'm just curious, like, is it about an equal amount of time to create each thing as a creative thing? Or is it really get down to the length of the piece?
With me, most of my ideas come from meditating or dreams. And, you know, it's really weird. 3 o'clock in the morning. Hey, wake up. I have an idea. So I have to write it down. But it's kind of cryptic when I have the idea.
Yeah.
So the difference is I start just writing it and it's almost an outline. And then I'll feel, can I make a poem out of this? Can I make a story out of this? And when I'm stuck, like I get stuck a lot at the last line, how to close a poem or how to close a story. Cause you know, it's like
Yeah.
that. Sometimes it's like, wait, this ended so abruptly. What happened? I just meditate on that. What can
Right.
I, how did I close this? So in, do I find it easy? I find that I just have to follow the thought pattern more in a short story. You know, because you have pages and you have to see how it flows within pages. And a poem is normally one page. You see it right in front of you.
Right.
So it's easier for me to edit a poem. I have to put more thought to an actual short story because I have to visualize. Now I have the environment. I mean, you have to do this in a poem too, but you could get more detail about the environment. You get more detail about what the weather is like, what you're feeling, how was the body feeling. You go through all the what four W's is it? What, when, where, and why?
Right.
And I mean, you're a novelist, so I'm sure you go through the same thing or similar.
I don't really, I'm more of a, what you call a pantser rather than a plotter, but I mean, you do have to start with some general idea of where you're going. And but the thing I used to take the most joy out of was just establishing kind of a general setting and something happening, and then just letting the characters take me on the journey as I wrote the book. And although, as longtime listeners will know, what used to take me 3 to 4 months to write my first draft is takes me almost a year now because of life, but also because as I get older, I think my attention span's shorter. And I don't know. I kind of get, like, when you hear about some of the great writers, and I'm not a great writer, I'm just saying, but you get when you hear some of the great writers say, I'm retiring, or a few have done that. I think Philip Roth did that, and a few others, where they just said, it's not coming to me the way it did, and I'd like to quit while I'm ahead. Not all do that, but but I can respect and get why people step away from it. And as we talked offline about, I'm entering kind of a different phase of my life right now with work and career that's gonna, I just don't even know how. I mean, I'm in the midst of writing a new book, but I don't even know if I'm going to have the energy or attention span to really make it happen. So it's a, sorry, I didn't mean to talk about me, but
No,
it's
I want to know about
definitely,
you.
oh, well, thank you. But it's definitely going to be interesting to find out. And who knows? I could get in a new circumstance, and you start to find the rhythms of your circumstance. Like, for example, when you're on the set of a TV show, I ask you, oh, okay, you're on Bosch Legacy. You're there. Let's say you got a 1 day shoot. It's a night shoot. Okay, you got a little place to put your stuff, but a lot of it is sitting around, kind of waiting, right? As they
Yeah.
rig the lights and everybody gets ready. And you've told me before the things you do. You find those rhythms. You can't necessarily whip out your laptop and start writing, I guess, but you do
Yeah.
find those pockets in your day when you're working there or elsewhere. And that's what I've got to try to find, some those pockets in my day where I can write some stuff. I've got a friend real quick who he's an auto worker, and he writes really well. He writes film criticism, and he's brilliant. He's really good. And he has a little keyboard for his phone, and he sets it up and he writes on his lunch hour while he's munching on a sandwich. I admire him so much. Of course, he's like 41, so he's whippersnapper. He can do that.
Yeah, what I do on the set. Because I don't have any, sometimes like Bosch Legacy, and also when I did NYPD Blue, and that was a way long time ago, they moved quick. My call was at 5 o'clock because it was a night shoot. I went in, did makeup, hair, everything, and they give you a trailer, so you're in a trailer. And it's a small trailer, has a refrigerator and mirror and lights and everything, so you prep. And a bathroom. Some of them don't, you have to go like somewhere else. But then after that, you're done by like 6:30. They call you to the set, they drive you to the set because it was on location. And then you have to figure out, you got these lines and you audition, but you didn't audition in a space. So now it's like, what do I do? Where do I stand? Where am I going? Make sure I don't trip on the stairs. They gave me these huge high heels, like
Oh,
platforms.
right.
And I'm like, oh my God, how do I look normal just walking down the stairs? So you gotta, it's like in writing, you create your atmosphere, but as an actor, you're thrown into the atmosphere.
Yeah. Oh,
You
that's a
got
oh,
your
that's
lines. But you
yeah.
don't have the atmosphere.
Oh, that's a great distinction. I love that.
Yeah. And as a writer, we create the world it's in.
Right,
And
right.
then we get more detailed. But in acting is the opposite. You know the
Gotcha.
detail, you know your lines, you know the character. Then you go in and you gotta figure out, okay, where's the entrance? Where am I gonna stand? How do I walk? And they'll direct you. They say, come down the stairs and then walk over there. And you go, okay, but then everything else on you. That's the only direction that you get.
But you got to hit
Because,
your mark, right? I mean, that's the thing, right? If you
yeah, because
don't,
the
what
cameras
happens?
are set.
Right.
They'll shoot again, and if they keep shooting again, they're gonna get pissed at you. And so, but they mark it. They'll put tape, walk to this spot, there's tape. And while they set up a little, they already marked you how you're gonna go. You practice it. Yeah, so you know, and as long as you're not in their way. And so you hit your marks. And you know, sometimes like I went in for Bosch with like a paragraph and I ended up just doing two lines. And then I went to, when I was in the movie, oh my God, Hollywood Homicide. I forget the names. I was there for one day, one line, and then they had brought me back for more. It's like, well, you're just like, you're there and you disappear. We need you coming back more. And then they had me on the call sheet for the next day. I go, I thought, I didn't know I was supposed to be here tomorrow. And they go, oh yeah, we just added that. I go, well, I'm glad you told me. But that was a great shoot. People were really nice. And even I work with Harrison Ford, and he, I told, well, we've discussed it. He was really very nice to me, and I appreciated that.
I've heard that. I've never
Josh
heard.
Hartnett.
Who's kind of making a comeback, it seems now. He kind of disappeared
He
for
was
a
a
while.
great actor,
He
you
just, I
know?
don't know what he did. He just
And he,
decided to walk away.
yeah, a lot of actors, what people don't understand is like, oh, whatever happened to them? It's a, you know, it's an emotionally charged career because you have to be able to jump in and out of, you know, characters. I've done roles where I'm like hysterically crying because someone died. And then when they call cut, they come over to you and they go, are you okay? Are you okay? And you're like, oh, yeah. Well, they have to check on you because sometimes, you know, you're snapping between two realities. The reality of the show in your own reality. So they do come and check to make sure. I mean, that's been my experience. They go, are you okay? You know, do you want water? Do you want, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not, you know what? I didn't know that. I had no idea. That's wonderful that they do that.
Yeah.
Do you I know we shifted away, but we're talking about acting again, but let's just go with it for a second. I know you don't just do, I mean, you've got a marvelous screen presence, but you are also a voice actress, correct? And you're starting to do a little more of that, or hopefully you're starting to do a little more of that.
I asked my agency if they would, because you know, here you could be with one agency, but if it's a bigger agency, they have different departments. So I started out with my agency in print, then they took me on for commercial, and then they took me on for voiceover, and I have to audition for each one. The voiceover, they asked me, we, you know, I did the demo, which my friend Marabina helped me with, and she has a course. And she helped me do my demo, and I submitted it. And she's been after me for years to do it. She goes, you have a unique voice, but I
You
thought my
do.
unique voice was not going to get booked because it's unique. But she says, no, that's not the case. So, and also I do Spanish, you know, I do some of it in Spanish. And so they signed me on, and I've been doing really nice auditions, and to the point that I built my own, I converted a closet to my voiceover booth. And so right now theatrical is coming back because since we were on strike for so long, that a lot of the shows are now starting in February. So there's more auditions with that. It's been a little slow for me in that department. But yeah, what people don't, it's one of those things. That's why my other podcast Overheard at Chica's Cafe, people don't understand how much work it takes to be an actor or a producer or a sound editor. And it's a great process to listen to people that are actually in it. You know, it's a good educational. If you want to choose one of those careers, this is what you listen to. And I didn't mean for that to be a plug, but it kind of goes
No,
with
you should
your
plug it because it's
experiences of
good.
life.
You should, because Sonia, you know how curious I am about it. You know that I'm always, in fact, I know I'm tedious because I'm always asking you questions about the business, but I just like to hear about it. I don't have any illusions about being in it. I'm just curious about it. And I love that Chica's Cafe, Overheard at Chica's Cafe, because like you said, you're like saying, hey, all you folks, listen to this person who does this thing that you probably don't even know exists on a film set or on a TV show or whatever. And you go through all this stuff. It's not the usual suspects, although you've had one, you know, one of the stars of Bosch was on your show. She was lovely. Love hearing from her. But it's not just the famous people. It's all the people that make the famous people look great. And so funny, you're talking about, you do things, you know, you're in Spanish. So my oldest, dearest friend, she and her husband he was a New York City Fire Department, and he's retired, just retired. And she used to work off Broadway. She was an actress and a dancer and singer forever. And she kind of quietly retired with him from a lot of stuff. And they're moving to Spain. You know, that's been like their life's dream to go retire somewhere warm. And, you know, they've got a nice little place in near Malaga, I think. Anyway, I was talking to her the other day, and she said, I said, what are you up to? I haven't talked to her in months. And she said, I'm just practicing. I was like, for what? And she said, well, the Antonio Banderas Theater is next to my new town, and they're doing Gypsy. And she toured with a touring production of Gypsy years ago. But she says, but I have to sing an audition in Spanish. And she's not a native speaker, not like you. And then so she sang it. She's, do you want to hear it? She sang it for me, you know. And I was like, wow. I mean, I thought the inflection was good. And she, you know, it didn't sound like she was just really phonetically getting it. You know what I mean? You've heard people phonetically do another language, and it's, you understand them, but it maybe doesn't sing, so to speak. And she was doing pretty well. But anyway, I thought of you. I'm glad you mentioned Spanish, because that reminded me. But yeah, she'll find out if she gets it. You know, I mean, it's his theater, but he won't be, you know, doing it.
We have a Ricardo Montalban theater here, but he's not there. Ricardo. Obviously, he passed away.
Well, I was going to say, if he's there, I'd like you to call the newspapers or something.
It would be box or something. But
I absolutely loved him, by the way. And you know, there's a role that he never got to play that was brought up towards the end of his life. A director he worked with said, "I would have loved to seen." Because Ricardo was so charismatic, and he wasn't just Mr. Yes. Rourke on Fantasy Island. He was deeper than that. And he says, Ricardo, oh, to have seen you do Lear. And Ricardo said, oh, my accent, they would never. And he would have been, I think he would have been magnificent King Lear when he was older.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tremendous. Yeah.
Doesn't it take place in England, King Lear? Yeah.
Totally. But I just think he would, who cares, right? I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean,
there's a lot of, a lot of Shakespeare is done in Spanish, and it's been translated, but because he had that regalness to him.
Very regal, very yes. Anyway, I'm sorry, didn't mean to go off a tangent there, but I think that's the whole thing about it. And I just told her, my friend, I said, I'm just so glad you're, you know, she said, you know, basically it's a semi-pro kind of theater production. But I said, yeah, but you're getting back out there, and I'm glad. And then I said, of course, I still hate you because you're going to move to sunny Spain, and I'm not. But I was teasing her, but she's going to do that. But you know what? It's good. Do you learn anything from your guests? Give me a hint. Give us an idea of something you learned from one of your guests. I'd love to share that with the listeners.
Okay, I'm going to, we all know about what a sound designer, you know, we know that there's a title called sound designer.
Right, right.
I had no idea what it takes to be a sound designer. And I've had two sound designers on Overheard. And one of them, his name is Lindsay. He started out, never studied it, but started out because he was a musician in a rock band or something like that. And someone says, hey, can you do the sound for this show? And he has such a unique way of putting sound to a show that more people kept asking him and more people kept asking him. He's a Tony winner.
Is that really?
Yeah. He's a Tony winner. And I mean, he's just, and then another one of my sound designer that was on the show, and she's in the January episode. She went the, you know, educational way. Got trained that way, was trained as an actress, always was interested in sound. And I went to a play at the Geffen that she was the sound designer on. She's also a composer. They're both composers at the same time.
But is so the award she won was for
No, he,
Heat that he won was for what?
Lindsay is a Tony, like
And
in New
what
York,
did he win the award for though?
sound design.
So they haven't, I didn't realize they had a Tony for sound design.
Oh, well, I'll be real brief with this because it's a big, long story. They used to have the sound design and to for the Tony Awards. Then they took it away. So they decided to start a company called Theatrical Sound Designers Composers Association. So they
Okay.
started an association based on another association in England. And then the Tonys put it back in there. But so now they're back in at the Tony Awards.
Okay. Now, and just for the folks at home, the Tonys are not just acting awards. They're directing, they're
Yeah, it's
playwrights.
like the Oscars. The Oscars has, best song score, best directing, best producing. Well, the best producing is
Best
the
picture is the
best
producer, yeah.
picture, right? So you all of them, actor, best, set design, the same thing, but for theater at the Tonys.
Yeah, I think that it's, and Emmys, the same with the Emmys. There's all these,
Yes, correct.
but the Emmys do the what they call the Creative Arts Awards, and they put them. They don't let them do the main show, right? They do it like on an afternoon sometime. The you know what I'm talking
They're
about?
separated. Yeah, but Emmys
Yeah.
is only TV.
And it's only, exactly, and it's only TV.
It's
Exactly.
only TV. Oscars are
Yeah.
movies, but it could be a streaming movie, like a mini. No, mini series are done on Emmys. Yeah.
Yeah. Although, and it's weird, it's all kind of changed though when the streamers came along, because it's not, I mean, HBO and Netflix and Apple, they got in on it and they started, moving past the fare that that's broadcast on ABC, CBS, and all. It's just interesting to see how it all goes. I know I've kept you, and it's almost time to go, but I've got to just ask you though, what do you what's I mean, watching it, just speaking of the screen, seeing you light up the screen on Bosch, and I mean, it's just so great. And what do you want to do? I'd love to, because here you are, you're a multi-talented individual. I mean, you've got the stage, you've got TV, you've got movies, you've got voiceover, you've got writing. I know you want to do it all, but come on now. You and I both want to do a lot of things, but we can't do because there's just so much. Is there something you gravitate towards? You know what I mean? I think we all gravitate towards comfort, but we also gravitate towards just things we love. Is there any one discipline that really pulls you in?
Okay, I love being on the set. I just love it. It's a little stressful because you don't want to mess up your lines, but I love being on the set. The energy there is so amazing. And learning a character, I think
Yeah.
that's what helps me with my writing too. I become
Right.
that character. Like I
Yeah.
did a poem once called Forget, and it's about a battered woman. I did not experience
I've
that.
read that one. It's moving. It's very
Yeah,
moving.
and that one was considered by, I think it's October is abuse, Women's Abuse Month or something, or
Oh, man.
October. And they were actually considering, the agency was actually considering that poem.
Wow.
Yeah, because it just says exactly what a battered woman goes through. And yeah, so, just I love being on the set. It depends on my mood, but what the consistent one is being on the set. And I had let go of acting because I was not booking anything for like 5 or 6 years.
Oh.
Oh yeah, I went through a major dry spell and I
Ooh.
said, well, maybe I should give it up. And I did a whole episode on grieving dreams.
Right.
And but I love, to me, being on the set, I love it. Poetry is therapeutic. So, I mean, producing a book, that part of it, but just writing poetry
Right.
and really, it's just therapy for me.
Well, and now, and of course, podcasting is too, especially when your co-host is the delightful me, because we would be overheard it. It wasn't overheard. Sorry, Chica and the Man. It was silly, but we really were kind of each other's therapists too.
Yeah. And it was funny because remember, it was like, what do we talk about today? Okay, how about this?
And we never talked about it. We went off on tangents,
We
and
went
we
so
never talked
many
about
tangents.
anything we're supposed to. I don't, folks. I don't know. It's just when you meet somebody, even this is embarrassing. This is not embarrassing. It's weird to say. Is that As much as I love this lady, my dear friend, we've never met in person, and
No,
but we've
I still
talked.
plan on going there, but it's winter where you're at, so.
You do not want to come here right now. Did you see all the snow we got? But oh, and you never know. What if I have, hey, if I have a conference anywhere near you or something like with my new thing, I'm calling
Yeah.
you. So,
Yes, definitely.
but it, you know what? Distance doesn't matter when you love somebody. And I freely admit I love Sonia, and I know she loves me too as much as
Yeah,
she can,
definitely.
because I'm a pain in the ass. But otherwise, but you know,
But you're
I
a
think
lovable
it's
pain in the ass.
I am a lovable pain in the ass. Thank you very much. Yes, you're just a sweetheart. Well, as we wrap up here, though, I think it'd be good to let everybody know that you can look in the show notes, and there's links to all this stuff. So go do it. And of course, go to mgopod.com for like more than the usual links you get in the show notes. You get more. Just trust me, you're going to want to see this. But go listen to Overheard at Chica's Cafe, which I just think I heard that I'm going to be invited on.
Yes.
Thank you. And don't forget her other show, but Poetic is going to be, it's a monthly, right?
So they're both currently monthlies. I will, since I've had listeners want more episodes at Overheard at Chica's Cafe, I'm probably gonna boot up to another episode. It's just, I work a regular job. I have acting that I do, and that's you're on call basically all the time. You don't know your schedule that well, and you
Right.
have to be able to be very flexible. But I would also, before we close, like to leave the audience with a poem that people think about.
I would absolutely love that. So what's going to happen? She's going to do this, and the show will be over when she does it. So I'm going to say this right now, my dear. Much love to you. Thanks for being on the show. When I come on your show, maybe I can tell that story about my brush with Hollywood. That might be a good one to talk
Yes,
about.
that
We
would
can
be
do that.
definitely a good one.
We'll do that. But darling, it's been great, and let's let you take it away. But thanks again for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Tomorrow. If I was to die tomorrow, would I have organized my home? Would I have left my paperwork in order? Would I have made it easier for my family? If I was to die tomorrow, would I have followed and completed my dreams? Would I have loved the way I wanted to love? Would I have visited the world like I wanted to? If I was to die tomorrow, would I have told those that I loved that I love them? Would I have seen the beauty in my own life? Can I say that I lived my life to its fullest? If I was to die tomorrow, would I have lived today? Would I have loved differently? Would I have felt my life was complete? If I would die tomorrow, a sadness would be there to know I wasted so much time afraid of the unknown. If I was to die tomorrow, I would make the unknown known. I'd face the unknown I was so afraid of as I live my life today with strength and joy.
Thanks for joining us on Mysterious Goings On. Be sure to follow Mysterious Goings On wherever you get your podcast and never miss an episode. Don't forget, you can get the links to books and other things mentioned on the show at mgopod.com. Until next time, keep reading.